You're listening to SBS On The Money with Ricardo Gonçalves.
Hi everyone, Ricardo Gonçalves with SBS On The Money for this Tuesday, the 5th of January 2021. It is your daily 10-minute business and finance news wrap. Later, job advertisements are at an 18-month high. That is good news for the unemployment rate. We'll tell you more details in a few moments. But first, we've been told to use less cash during the COVID-19 pandemic to try to limit the spread of the virus, but the Reserve Bank says a record $98.6 billion worth of banknotes are in circulation, while the value of $50 notes has risen 24% year on year. So for more on that, I spoke earlier with Craig James from CommSec. Craig, the amount of banknotes in circulation rose around 2% in December. Why?
Well, it's a combination of supply and demand. The Reserve Bank wants to make sure there's plenty of liquidity in the system at present. On the demand side, people are still very much keen to hold physical cash.
Now, those $50 notes in circulation rose by around $1 billion in December, but it's 24% higher than a year ago. Why, and has it got anything to do with COVID?
Well, it's basically FOTU, fear of the unknown. It's a similar situation why people panic buy in terms of toilet paper and tissue. They don't want to be kept short, see if they go into lockdown. And in terms of cash, people are concerned about the future. They want to know that in the event of a disaster, they have access to physical cash so they can use it.
So what does this all say about the future of cash?
Well, cash certainly still has a future as long as people are wanting to have physical cash to be able to use as either an asset or to be able to use for transaction purposes. Cash will have a role, and certainly that remains the case at present.
Craig James there from CommSec. Now, we've also had some good news on the economy today, with the number of jobs being advertised reaching the highest since mid-2019. That is according to ANZ. For more on that, here is Catherine Birch. She is an ANZ senior economist. Catherine, job ads are at their highest level in 18 months. Why?
Well, if we look at job ads pre-pandemic, those levels reflected churn, so workers changing jobs, reflected skills mismatches, as well as rising labour demand as the economy expanded. But now there's still a significant number of people who were until recently employed and who have only lost employment due to COVID who need to get back into the workforce. So we were expecting that ANZ job ads would exceed their pre-pandemic levels, and it's really good to see that happening already to get all these people back into the workforce, as well as new entrants and people re-entering the workforce.
Where do you think these jobs are likely to have come from?
ANZ job ads is a national high-level indicator, but if we look at something like SEEK job ads, that suggests that in recent months, a lot of the strength has been coming from Victoria as restrictions were lifted, which is a really good sign because the labour market there still has some ground to make up. And it also suggests that there's a lot of growth in hospitality and tourism as well. Again, that's a good sign because this was one of the industries that was hit hardest early on in the pandemic.
So what does this all say about the jobs market, and especially those still wanting more hours? Because isn't that still a bit of an issue?
So it suggests that we should continue to see solid employment gains through into early 2021 at least, which is a really good sign. And on the face of it, it does suggest that we could see the unemployment rate come down quite quickly in 2021. But we do think that the labour market will face a few challenges in the first half of this year. First of all, we see the end of JobKeeper in March. And in the December quarter, there were still about 1.5 million people still relying on JobKeeper, particularly in industries that are exposed to international tourism, interstate tourism with the borders closed now, international education, as well as some of the businesses that service the Melbourne CBD workers and things like that. So we are expecting to see employment growth stall a bit towards the middle of 2021. There may also be a bit of a trade-off between unemployment and underemployment. So businesses may increase the hours of their current workers rather than taking on new hires, which is really good for reducing underemployment, but again could see employment growth stall and delay any improvements in the unemployment rate.
Speaking of that unemployment rate, right, you did say we're likely to see it start falling. Does that mean we've passed peak unemployment at 7.5%?
We do think that the peak in unemployment has already gone past the 7.5% in July, but we are expecting that the unemployment rate will be a bit sticky, particularly in the first half of 2021. But there is a risk if we get to the end of March and the end of JobKeeper, if there are still a lot of businesses relying on JobKeeper who then have to lay off staff once it ends, we could see a bit of a jump in unemployment then if a lot of workers have to move from JobKeeper onto JobSeeker.
Catherine Birch there from ANZ. Now to the Australian share market, which finished mixed following a mixed lead from Wall Street. The 200 down 0.04% to 6,681, but the All Ords rose, but only a tiny bit, 0.036955 is the level it finished at. Zip was the worst performer on the ASX 200, down 5%. Silver Lake Resources the best, up nearly 7%. But the market was broadly weaker because of weakness from the banks. NAB losing 1%. Resource stocks, though, doing well. BHP added 2.9%. A big gainer today was Nick Scali, the furniture store retailer. It added 6.3% following a profit upgrade. For more on the day's action, I spoke earlier with Martin Lakos from Macquarie Private Wealth.
Martin, we had a mixed lead from overseas. The US was down and the UK up on its first trading day of the year, despite Brexit and rising coronavirus numbers. What's your take?
Yeah, there's a whole range of machinations taking place in markets at the moment, but to see the UK market up is probably more about an outlook for 2021, both in terms of the rollout of vaccines, and it does appear that analysts in the European market are starting to gauge that they are too conservative on earnings recovery in 2021, but it's probably a second half story, to be honest with you. There's absolutely no doubt that this additional lockdown measures being taken by the UK government will again slow or pause that recovery in the first half of this year.
Our market is lower today. Why and where's the selling coming from?
Well, again, Australia is doing better than most in regards to COVID, and obviously with the prospect of our economy is still on a recovery track. So we were really down not very much compared to what we saw in the US. The US is probably under a couple of issues. One, we've got the Senate election overnight, and there are some concerns that should the Democrats control the Senate, there's concern around some of the possibilities of policy coming through that may be negative for business and growth. But in broad terms, there's absolutely no doubt that the continuing escalation of the coronavirus infections is probably going to be on front of mind as well.
Now, Qantas has reopened its international bookings for the middle of the year. Given that, what's your take on the travel sector at the moment?
So certainly Qantas talked earlier on that they'll be flying internationally hopefully around about June. And that makes some sense that they're making some noise now. Basically, it's going to take quite some time from a logistic perspective to get such a thing as the complexity of an airline up and running. So, you know, they're making some noise about that going forward. But other transport areas, clearly that's got some leverage to a post-COVID recovery. The Sydney Airport area, trucking businesses, it makes a lot of sense that people are going to start talking about that recovery going forward from here.
Can I get you to look into your crystal ball for 2021? What do you see as the key themes?
Well, there's absolutely no doubt to be looking at what the policy response is from the Biden administration going forward. That's going to be absolutely key. We're pretty certain they want to continue with the growth and the recovery policies at this stage to get that US economy going. The same here in Australia, that shift more towards business, to employing, to be getting jobs going, that's very, very important. It's possible that we are basically underestimating the earnings recovery here in the Australian market. But we're still very much focusing more on growth as against value. There are definitely pockets of value within the Australian share market, but for this year, it's still very much a focus of growth given the very low interest rate environment.
So what does that mean for your investment strategy?
Yeah, we're positioned more towards international exposure still. We still think that's where the real growth is going to come through. And whether it's tech sectors, whether it's global health or global infrastructure, these are key areas that we'll be focusing in on from a thematic perspective.
Martin Lakos there from Macquarie Private Wealth. That is SBS On The Money. I'm Ricardo Gonsalves. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Business Ricardo.
This SBS On The Money podcast is provided for informational purposes only. The content on this podcast should not be understood as constituting advice or a recommendation. It is not personal advice and does not consider your personal circumstances or objectives. You should contact a licensed professional before making any financial decision.